بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll begin the study of Surah Al-Sharh. Before we begin, I just failed to mention in last lesson that we had with Surah Al-Duha, two very important points in the conclusion of Surah Al-Duha. One of the questions we didn't answer is, Allah Azza wa Jal said in the ending of the last ayah of Surah Al-Duha, He said, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. As for the favors of your Lord, then make mention. But for the word, make mention, he said, فَحَدِّثْ, while some other words could have been used, for example, فَخَبِّرْ. So what is the difference and what exactly is implied with the word فَحَدِّثْ? Allah didn't say, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَخَبِّرْ, although it would have given the same meaning. خَبِّرْ means to tell. حَدِّثْ also means to mention and speak and tell the people. But the difference is this, that hadith, the word that's used, it comes from the word hadith. And hadith basically, hadath, a hadith is basically a story that is told that is never to be forgotten. A story that's told that's to never be forgotten. And you know, usually a story is something that's history. And something that's history is never forgotten. It's always there. So in Allah Azza wa Jal saying, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ, He's saying that each blessing, each ni'mah of Allah Azza wa Jal upon you should be a story that is to never be forgotten. So he says, فَحَدِّثْ. So that's every single ni'mah of Allah Azza wa Jal is registered and recorded in your history book, that this ni'mah I shall thank all my life, and if I thank Allah all my life for it, I still have not reached a satisfactory level in that I have really thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ni'mah. You'll never get to that. So fahadith, just make sure it's a story, and a story that's never to be forgotten. And usually what do people do with stories? They share it with others and so on. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to think about the ni'mah and the blessing that He gives us. The other thing, and this is the last comment on that surah, is that it has been a sunnah from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam up until now. People this very day do this same sunnah, and that is that after the recitation, or after the recitation of Surah Al-Duha, all the way to the end of the Quran, after each surah, it's a sunnah to make takbir, to say Allahu Akbar, and then read the other surah that's after it. So for example, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ, Allahu Akbar, بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ, till the end of the Qur'an. Mujahid radiallahu anhu did this, and he said, I learnt it from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. And Ibn Abbas said, I learnt it from Ubay ibn Ka'b, and Ubay said, I learnt it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And even up until this day, when I read on the Mashayikh in Saudi Arabia, when I read, they said, when I reached this surah, Surah Al-Duha, he said, Kabbir, start making takbir up until we reach the end of the Qur'an. And we did that. Now, what I wanted to share is why, the wisdom behind why is there the takbir? Why is the takbir made? So the ulama tried to make a sense of that, an understanding. And they said that, you see, Surah Al-Duha, it was revealed after a very long time. That there was a pause in revelation, nothing was revealed on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the ulama, they said, وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ, يعني التكبير, when he said the takbir, وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ مِنْهُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ فَرَحًا بِنُزُولِ الْوَحْيِ بَعْدَ انْقِطَاعِهِ. This was a means in how he expressed his happiness. So that the wahi was cut, what it was paused for a while, and now that it came down, it was like a Eid for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Right? So then he made Allahu Akbar. He said takbir Allahu Akbar after this surah was revealed. And this is why, wallahu a'lam, that this sunnah has been from then up until these days. So now we begin with Surah Al-Sharh. It's known as Surah Al-Inshirah as well. And it's most commonly known in the books of Tafasir as Surah Alam Nashrah. They're all the same. Surah Al-Sharh, Inshirah, Alam Nashrah is the most famous one in the Tafasir books. And Surah Al-Sharh, it was revealed straight after Surah Al-Duha. It was the 12th surah to be revealed unto the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, it's a Makki surah, so this is way before the Hijrah. Some ulama, they said that both these surah are actually one surah. Surah Al-Duha and Surah Al-Sharh are one surah, they're not two. And they narrated on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he would recite both of them in one rak'ah without saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim between them. So, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Straight away, he'd read it in one rak'ah. Now, the correct opinion is that they are two surah, right? They're not one surah. However, these two surah are very closely related. They have really amazing parallels in between them, as we'll discover inshaAllah ta'ala. We mentioned in last lesson that we had that the reason of revelation of Surah Al-Duha was due to the depression, yani let's say the tightness of chest. That's a figure of speech. When we say that chest has tightened, tightness of chest, then that means the person is really experiencing depression. So Surah Al-Duha was revealed due to depression the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam experienced because of what he heard from Mushriku Quraysh, from Quraysh. What did they say to him? They said to him, وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ, right? Your Lord farewelled you. They said to him, قَلَاكَ رَبُّكَ, your Lord is unhappy with you. They said, your Lord is going to find a new prophet, he doesn't want you anymore for the job. And what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam hears, makes his chest tight, a figure of speech. In other words, makes him depressed. So after a while, after the wahi had paused, there was nothing from the Quran being revealed. Allah Azza wa Jal sent down Jibreel, who eventually came down to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Surah Al-Duha. And he recited unto him, وَالضُحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى, until he reached the end of it, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. See, this is the connection between this and the other one. This is it. Jibreel came down, recited Surah Al-Duha unto Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once he finished, he rose to the sky, وَانْشَرَحَ صَدْرُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. In other words, once he finished reciting it, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's chest was expanded. In other words, the depression was gone and he became tranquil. So Allah began this surah with أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ, defining and describing the state in how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is right now straight after Surah Al-Duha has finished. And that was his case, that shuriha sadruhu, his chest has been expanded. We'll explain what that is. But in other words, it's a figure of speech that means he's at ease, he's at comfort, he's tranquil, and there is no more depression. So the first ayah of Surah Al-Sharh is the first parallel we find between Surah Al-Sharh and Surah Al-Duha. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ, did we not expand especially for you your chest? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that this is a continuum, it's a continuation of what had already come in the previous surah. Remember, in the previous surah, what did Allah said that was close to this? He said, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى, didn't he find you an orphan and he provided shelter for you? So now this is just a continuum. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. That same question is now, Allah Azza wa Jal continues that style in this surah, and he says to him, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still continues to count his uncountable blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so from the blessings, he found him an orphan and he gave him provided shelter. And وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. And on top of all this, شَرَحَ صَدْرَهُ. On top of all that, he also expanded his chest. وَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ. And then after it, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. يعني these are the blessings that Allah is continually and continuing to count on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is the first parallel. The other parallel between these two surah, between Surah Al-Duha and Surah Al-Sharh, is that they are both addressing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You know, in the Quran, sometimes Allah addresses the kuffar, sometimes he addresses the believers, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, sometimes ya ahlal kitab, speaking to ahlal kitab, sometimes the Jews, ya bani Israel. The different addressees in the Quran, and these two surah Surah Al-Duha and Surah Al-Sharh, the only audience is them is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَا وَدَّعَكَ وَمَا قَلَ أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ وَوَجَدَكَ فَحَدِّثْ you, right? And now in this surah is the same thing happening. أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ, right? All the way till the end. وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ, and so on. So these two surah, what they have in common is that they're both addressing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exclusively. Later on in the juz', inshallah, when we get to the end of it, we'll also find there is another two surah that exclusively address the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar fasalli li rabbika. That's exclusive to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an address. And the other one is, Idha ja'a nasrullahi wal-fath. Right at the end of it, it says, Fasabbih bihamdi rabbika. وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. These would come later on, and then we'll share the relationship, what they have with these two surah. Why did Allah begin with these, and then He يعني, had the others for later. طيب, that's the other parallel. Another one, which is the third one now, in the previous surah, Surah Al-Duha, at the end of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a couple of commandments to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? He says to him, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمِ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. It's a commandment. As for the orphan, when it comes to the orphan, then do not humiliate him. Don't overpower him. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلِ. As for the asker, the one that asks you, فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. Don't insult them. Don't turn away from them. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. There was commandments to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, although these commandments are for him, doesn't necessarily mean that he's not doing them, right? Because ala khuluqin azim, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon great character. So it doesn't mean that he's insulting and humiliating the orphan and the seeker and the asker is turning away from them. But through him we're being taught, right? So if Allah azza wa jal is saying this to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who's already not doing that, he's not doing tanhar to the yateem, and taqhar to the yateem, and tanhar to the sa'il, what does that say about you and I, right? How much more important are these ayat for me and you? So, in the previous surah, Surah Al-Duha, it concluded with commandments from Allah Azza wa Jal. And in this surah, Allah Azza wa Jal concluded it also by giving commandment to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he says to him at the end, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. That's a commandment. He says to him, when you've finished your duties, we're going to speak about this in detail later, but when you've finished your duties of da'wah to the people, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. Now stand in worship. وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. And to your Lord direct your worship. In other words, your intention should only be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So where in Surah Al-Duha it concluded with commandments to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also Surah Al-Sharh, it concluded with a commandment to An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the other thing is, the last word in Surah Al-Duha was fahaddith. Fahaddith, make mention. And we did share one of the sayings of the ulama was that أَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ. The ni'mah of your Lord. One of the sayings was that the ni'mah is you being a prophet and you having this deen of al-Islam. And since you have this ni'mah al-Islam, now haddith, preach it, teach it to the others. And basically what happens in there, in that ayah, is that there is an external gratitude. How are you going to thank Allah's ni'mah of Islam? Spread it to the others. That's how you thank it. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would convey Islam to others, then that's external gratitude. That's external gratitude. Talking to the people and giving them the da'wah. In Surah Al-Sharh, at the end of it, when he says to him, Fansab, pray, worship Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah is teaching him now how to internally be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Between you and the people, how do you thank Allah's blessing? How do you mention it? You preach to them. You and yourself, how do you thank Allah's blessing? Fansab, right? You stand up in prayer and you worship and you direct all your worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, fahaddith was that external gratitude, and fansab was teaching him that internal gratitude and how you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala internally by longing and directing your worship to Him azza wa jal. The fourth parallel we see between these two surah, and this is from a linguistic point of view, and it's remarkable, is the concept of the negative question that occurs in both surah, the negative question. Now, I'll give you an example, a worldly example, so you can relate to this better. You know, for example, if I was to say to someone, didn't I tell you don't go there? What does that mean? That means I did tell you don't go there. I asked it in a negative way, but what I meant by this is I did tell you go there. When I ask a negative question, it implies that I for sure told you don't go there. Allah Azza wa Jal said in the previous surah, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا, didn't he find you an orphan? In other words, قَدْ وَجَدَكَ يَتِيمًا. In other words, yes, indeed, I found you an orphan and I gave you shelter. Here, Allah said, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ, didn't we expand your chest for you? It implies for sure, we did. We expanded and we opened your chest for you. So subhanAllah, it's like the middle of Surah Al-Duha connects to the beginning of Surah Al-Sharh. Now, the next two ayat after this, in the previous surah, they were in the past tense. يعني Allah said, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَأَوَى وَوَجَدَكَ, and he found you. That's a past tense. And then again, وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا, again in the past. And also if you look at this surah, the question comes first, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ, and then وَوَضَعْنَا, and we removed away from you your burden, وزرك. And then Allah says, وَرَفَعْنَا, and we elevated, لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, your mention. So subhanAllah, look at the parallel. In Surah Al-Duha, there came the question, and then two statements came after it that were in the past tense. وَجَدَكَ وَجَدَكَ. And in this surah, it began with that same question, with a question, and then the following two questions and the following two facts that came after it also came with the past. وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ. That's almost counted as one ayah, as one sentence, although the two ayat will speak about the rhetorical benefit of this. And then Allah Azza wa Jal said after this, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. For subhanAllah, the same style that was found in Surah Al-Duha is pretty much the same style found in the beginning of Surah Al-Sharh. And you know, also what was mentioned in the hadith, which brings to light how really parallel and close they are. It was mentioned in the hadith of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended, Allah Azza wa Jal told him, he said to him, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Alam ajidka yateeman fa'await, didn't I find you an orphan and I gave you shelter? And Allah told him, Wa dallan fahadait, and I found you seeking and I guided you. Wa a'ilan fa'aghnait, and you were poor, you were in a desperate state, and I enriched you. وَشَرَحْتُ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. All these questions Allah asked him, and included from them, وَشَرَحْتُ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. And didn't I expand your chest? وَحَطَطْتُ عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ. And didn't I remove your burdens away from you? وَرَفَعْتُ لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And I elevated your mention. فَلَا أُذْكَرُ إِلَّا ذُكِرْتُ. So that every single time I'm mentioned, you're mentioned as well. Like in the adhan, for example, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. So Al-Biqa'i rahimahullah, he said, فَمَقْصُودُ سُورَةِ الْإِنْشِرَاحِ تَفْصِيلُ مَا فِي آخِرِ سُورَةِ الضُّحَى مِنَ النِّعْمَةِ. He said that the theme of Surah Al-Sharh is only to expand and to elaborate what came at the end of Surah Al-Duha of Allah Azza wa Jal mentioning that he gave Rasulullah blessings. So this surah is opening up that scope of what does it mean, بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ. What kind of ni'mah? And وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ, Allah will give you. What did he give him? Now he'll mention he even more of what he gave him. But to be honest, the first ayah, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ, is so powerful that the lesson will only be on this ayah. طيب. The fifth parallel between the two surah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he comforts the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Duha, when he said to him, وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. He said to him, for sure, the later part in your life is better, خَيْرٌ, than the earlier part in your life. We already spoke about that in extensive detail. Now, in this surah, Allah adds another comfort to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he says to him, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. For sure, with every difficulty, there's ultimate ease. Then he says to him, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. And for that same difficulty, there is even more ease. See, this is a comfort to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in the previous surah, Allah told him the future is better, خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. And here Allah told him that the future is going to be also easier. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Yusr is easy. So خَيْرٌ لَكَ over there, and here يُسْرًا. Not only the future is going to be better, but it's also going to be easier. Now what's the difference between better and easier? So you can understand this. You know, a child that's sick, probably Panadol is better for him. It's better for him to have this, but it's not easy for him to take Panadol. No, what are you going to go through to put Panadol in his mouth? That probably, if he swallows it, if he doesn't, it's not easy for him, but it's better maybe. So, you know, sometimes things in life could be better for you, but it's going to be hard. They're going to be hard. So Allah Azza wa Jalla even gives us that reality. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Maybe you are burdened by something. Maybe you dislike something. But actually it's better for you. Right? And so Allah Azza wa Jalla, so this is what Allah tells us about ourselves. But for the case of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah guaranteed him, what's going to come is khayr, it's going to be better. And it's also going to be easy as well. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. So this is how these two surah are also coming close to each other. The sixth parallel, in the previous surah, Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. He found you lost, he found you seeking, right? He was seeking. We spoke about, that's why he ended in the cave. Because he didn't know, should I follow the Jews, the Christians, should I worship the idols? He was confused, so just let me go of all this and isolate myself in Ghar Hira. And that's what he did, and Allah described that as Dallan, Hayran, confused, lost, doesn't know where to go. Fahada, and then Allah Azza wa Jal guided him. Now in this surah, you know, when someone is lost, they become disturbed. When someone is lost or they're looking for something, they become disturbed. They become at unrest, at unease. They don't look calm, you know, like you can tell from someone's face if they've lost something. You can tell, brother, what are you looking for? You look lost. Is everything all right? Because just from the face, you know if someone is lost or not. And when they find that thing, what happens? When you lose something and you find it, what happens? You become calm and relaxed instantly, straight away. In the previous surah, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, he found you seeking, lost. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا. And he guided you, فَهَدَى. And in this surah, Allah says, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Didn't we expand your chest? Meaning, didn't we put your mind and your heart at ease and peace and rest? You were looking around for something. Once the Qur'an came, alhamdulillah, now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his chest became at ease and he relaxed and he was now comforted, right? Because he found what he was looking for. He was looking for Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Azza wa Jalla taught him about who he is. And that's why he said at the beginning of the ayat that were revealed, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق. And you know, when you look at the first five ayat that were revealed, they must have been answers to questions the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had for a long time in his mind. So when you look at these first five ayat, they are answering what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had in his mind and his heart for a so long time. So he might have been saying, who's my Lord? And Allah answered him. خَلَقَ اقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ. This is Rabbik, he's the الَّذِي خَلَقَ, the one that created. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقَ اقْرَأْ وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمَ الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمَ عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. Okay, so we discover this in the previous surah, or that this ayah, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ, is actually, it's going to explain the guidance that was given to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's going to explain it. Okay, we have one more. And that is that in the previous surah, Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you, your Lord will give you until you are pleased. In this surah, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us something of what he has given him. And he says, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And we elevated especially for you, your mention, right? So in one surah he said, I will give you until you're pleased. And in this surah, he told us about something that he gave him. And he gave him the elevation of his mention, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the parallels between the two surah are very obvious. This is what I have collected in the time that I was preparing for this. However, Allahu A'lam, there is many, many, many more. And we'll end off with these seven. طيب, we'll begin inshallah ta'ala with the first ayah of the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. The word نَشْرَحْ comes from the word شَرَحَ. شَرَحَ in our contemporary times, it means to explain something, right? So for example, if you said, شَرَحَ الْكِتَابِ وَإِشْرَحْ لِلْكِتَابِ. شَرَحَ الْكِتَابِ means he explained the book. He explained the book. So شَرَحَ would mean to open up the meaning of something that is complex. There is work you have in front of you, you don't understand it, you say, ishrah li, so now I open up the meaning for you, so now you understand what was complex. In the study of ilmul bayan, there is this study in the Arabic languages called ilmul bayan. Basically, it's the study of figure of speech. Figures of speech, they study it in the Arabic language and what they allude to and what they imply. And one of the Arabic figures of speech is شرح الله صدره. Like for example, you have قرة عين, coolness of the eye. That's an expression, right? And that's a figure of speech, but it implies something. Like in English, they say, for example, don't cry over spilt milk. That implies something. Or it's raining cats and dogs. It implies something, right? So in other words, in Arabic, there's also that same study in where a phrase would be said that as it is, it will have a literal meaning, but it implies something. One of them is this, شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ. Allah expanded His chest. Now, literally that means, like if you said it's raining cats and dogs, what does that mean? That literally means it's raining heavy outside, right? Now, if you said, شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ, literally, that means that Allah put him at ease and at relaxation. Like, you know, when you do istikhara, and then after the istikhara, you say, إِنْشَرَحَ صَدْرِي لِهَذَا الْأَمْرِ. Alhamdulillah, I feel content with this matter. In Arabic, how would you say it? You'd say, إِنْشَرَحَ صَدْرِي لِهَذَا الْأَمْرِ. Mean, I feel at ease with this matter. I'm comfortable with matter. I'm at rest with this matter. I'll take it, right? So that's إِنْشَرَحُ الصَّدْرِ, basically what it means. So the one whose chest is open and expanded is very happy and very content with whatever situation is before him or whatever he has been given. Now he's really happy. Before he was given what he's given, he was in a state of unease and uncomfort. And now, because of it, because of what he's been given, he's completely content and he's happy. So Allah Azza wa Jal says to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. It means the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is absolutely happy and content, and he's satisfied with what he has been or what has been given to him by Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, there is no more or no want for more. He doesn't need any more. So he's completely satisfied with what Allah Azza wa Jal has given him. That's Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak. Shawkani rahimahullah, he goes a bit further to explain this beautiful meaning. He says the opening and expanding of the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam implies that all the barriers between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and understanding the wahi have been removed. They've all been removed. That's one of the meanings of Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak. So let me just give you an understanding of this. You know, there's a teacher in the class and he dictates onto his students. He wants his students to write. So the students begin to write everything the teacher dictates onto them. Now, they write everything. They receive the message. They've written it. But does that necessarily mean they understood everything? No, it doesn't. I can write everything the teacher dictates, but not necessarily I really understood everything. So receiving the message and not understanding, that's not sharh al-sadr. Receiving the message and understanding the message, that is sharh al-sadr. That is the expansion and the opening of the chest. So Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the revelation from Allah and he best understood the revelation and Allah opened his chest to understanding it. So Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak means that all the barriers between you and understanding this message have been removed. Everything you receive, you are the best one to understand it. And Allah Azza wa Jal, and so receiving and understanding the message brings, what does that bring? It brings relaxation and ease and comfort to the heart and mind. You know, like for an exam, if you read everything and you didn't understand, let's say you memorized textbooks, but you didn't understand, you'll still panic when you get into the exam. You'll still panic because you didn't understand. You're just memorizing. You're focused on if I forget this word or I don't forget that word. You're still at panic. But you know, if you go into an exam before you've walked in the exam, if you've read and understood everything, how at ease will you be then? You know that you can walk in, read the question, express it in your own way because you understood the concept, right? So you can explain it. You don't panic. So these two elements of receiving the message, memorizing and understanding, that's when Sharh al-Sadr happens. That's when the chest opens and it expands. And this is yani common. Every time you learn an ayah, wallah, trust me, there are ayat you might have been, you've memorized for so long. And this is the feeling you'll have, that when you read an ayah you've read for so long in your life, that the first time you understand this ayah, how awesome is that feeling inside? You feel like, yani, mashallah, you achieved something. And you feel almost that you're at ease and relaxation. That feeling is Sharh al-Sadr. That you've received that wahi, you've received it, you've learnt it, and now you understood it. Two together will make Sharh al-Sadr, subhanallah. And that was the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He's been given an ayah, and he's the best to understand the ayah. So Allah definitely gives us a fact, alam nashrah laka sadrak. Didn't we give you the wahi and didn't we give you the understanding of the wahi that put your ease and relaxation? Imagine he was given the wahi and didn't understand what Allah wanted from him. He would have panicked. There would have been a severe problem. But Allah gave him the wahi and the understanding, and with that it caused his chest to expand. So Allah Azza wa Jal starts the ayah. This is the other point, is that Allah starts the ayah as a question. Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Allah could have said, قَدْ شَرَحْنَا صَدْرَكَ. He could have said, إِنَّا شَرَحْنَا لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Allah could have said this. That would have been a fact. Allah could have said, indeed, we expanded your chest. It is no doubt we expanded your chest. But Allah gave it in the format of a question. Well, what is the benefit of the question? The question format, it implies what's known in Arabic as taqreer. Taqreer meaning to emphasize something thoroughly. And so to put it in a question form is to make one become even more grateful. You know, instead of Allah saying to him, we expanded your chest. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said to him, didn't we expand your chest? The intent is to make the one you're talking to even more grateful. So you don't give it as a fact, but you give it in a question format. Didn't we do this? And didn't we do that for you? And didn't I do this? And didn't I do that? That makes the one that's listening humble himself, and it makes him be even more appreciative and more grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is why the ayah began in the question format. Allah Azza wa Jal, then he said in the ayah, Alam nashrah laka sadrak. This is very important to understand this point. Focus so you can understand it. Why did he say sadrak? Didn't I expand your sadr, your chest? Why didn't he say, Alam nashrah laka nafsak? Or Alam nashrah laka qalbak, your heart? He said sadr. The first thing is, because the sadr, which is the chest, qalb is the heart, the sadr is where knowledge is kept. It's where knowledge is kept. Allah Azza wa Jal says, بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. When Allah described the Qur'an and the ayat of the Qur'an, He said, these ayat are in the chest of those that have been given knowledge. So the Qur'an and the knowledge and everything you learn that's useful is inside of the chest. So in other words, Allah expanded His chest so He can prepare His body, His chest for the ayat. These ayat are going to come down. So the chest's got to be ready for it. So Allah Azza wa Jal opens it up. And we'll mention the story of what happened when the angel came and cleaned whatever, the heart and so on. We'll get to that. But that's the first thing. Why sadrak, not qalbak? Because the ayat are going to come into the heart and the knowledge is going to be inside of that area. So that needs to be expanded a little bit. Okay. Sadrak also, the sadr, the chest, is where waswasa happens. Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas, not qulub, sudur. The waswasa happens in the chest. So now you know, the devil, he attacks the chest of the human being. He doesn't attack your heart. He attacks the chest. And the chest, it's the cage of the heart. Your heart is inside. What's the cage of the heart? The chest. And so this devil, he attacks the chest and he fills the chest with waswasa. He fills it with waswasa. He fills it with depression, with worry, with love of this world, love of wealth. And he just fills it. And when the chest becomes so full of this stuff, what happens to the heart? It becomes squeezed, right? It's squashed, it's squeezed. So you won't feel the sweetness of the worship, the sweetness of the Quran, of the dhikr. You won't feel it. If waswasa, if you experience constant waswasa, and you're doing nothing about it, eventually it fills in your chest, the heart is squeezed to one corner, to one side, and that's when you will not feel nothing about your ibadah. You'll pray, I don't know what I got from my salat. That experience is because that chest is full of that waswasa of the shaitan. How do you get rid of it? The only way to clean the chest is by the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Allah said, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. That it is indeed with the remembrance of Allah, the heart, not the chest, the qulub, the heart, finds tranquility. So when it's squeezed from the inside, you need the heart to push everything out. And how is that done? With the dhikr of Allah. When the dhikr is done, then it pushes everything out, and tatma'in, it tranquils, it rests, and when it rests, it opens back to what it was, right? And everything is thrown out of the heart. This is the only way to bring rest and ease to the heart, and when that rest and ease is brought to the heart, the sadr will begin to insharih, it will expand, the chest in itself will expand. Okay, so, alam nashrah laka sadrak, this is why sadrak was mentioned, and not the qalb itself. Allah Azza wa Jal said, alam nashrah. Didn't we? This we. You need to explain something about it. In the previous surah, Allah Azza wa Jal said, alam yajidka. Didn't he find you an orphan? Now, we, he, what's the difference? In the previous surah, it's he. And he, when speaking in the language, that's actually third person. That's third person language. When you speak about someone, that's third person. You know, he went to that and he does this and he lives over there. That's always mentioned as that's third person. When I say these words, we, I, then that's first person. So in the previous surah, Allah addressed the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in third person. In this surah, Allah addressed him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the first person. What's the difference between the two? Third person, that implies something being far. When I speak in third person, I'm speaking about something far away from me, right? He lives over there. Where? That's yani he, yani very far. But when I say the word we, I, that implies closeness. So Allah Azza wa Jal in this surah gets closer to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and He says, "Alam nashrah laka sadrak?" Didn't we expand your chest? So now that Allah Azza wa Jal, this in itself, it implies closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so this surah is becoming even more personal to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to really reflect over this huge blessing He's given him, and that is the expansion of the chest. Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Sharh al-sadr, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam both physically and non-physically. Both physically and non-physically. The physical sharh of the sadr, it happened, the first time it happened when the Prophet ﷺ was 2 years of age and 3 months. 2 years old and 3 months. And this happened in Bani Sa'd. There's a tribe in Bani Sa'd, it's far away from Mecca. What was narrated is that two men came to Rasulullah ﷺ. They took him, they laid him on the ground, they cut him open, they took his heart, they washed his heart, they took out the evil from his heart, and the waswasa from the heart, and the jealousy and animosity, took all that from his heart, and they washed the heart with zamzam, and they put it back in. After they finished, they left, and he remained lying on the ground in shock. He just doesn't know what happened. So then the son of Halim al-Sa'diyah, that's where Bani Sa'd is in Halim al-Sa'diyah, that's when he was in her care, right? Her son, he came to his mother Halima, and he said to her, that I just saw two men come to that boy that I have there, my friend, and they did this and this to him. So Halima, She was very scared. She took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she went, her and her husband, to Mecca, and she went and gave him to his mom. He said, take him. Take him, I don't want him anymore. Because of what happened, I'm afraid. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mother, she said to Halima, she said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of my son. For by Allah, the day I carried him, I saw a dream. And the day I gave birth to him, I saw a dream. What did she see in her dream? She said, I saw light coming out of me that lit the east and the west. It lit both the east and the west. So that was in her dream. So she said to Halima, don't be afraid of my son. So then Halima was convinced and she said, all right, look, I'll take him back. I'll take him back to the desert so he can become even more stronger, right? And by the way, you all know that when people in Mecca would give birth to the boys and so on, they would take them from there, take them out to the desert. What was the purpose of that? So they can drink the milk over there, and so they can be nourished and raised in that harsh condition and environment, so that when they come back to Mecca, they're all ready in terms of their physique and their body build and so on. Okay, so Halima radiallahu anha, she relaxed. She was at ease. And she took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again, and she went back to where she was. At the time when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 4 years of age, again the same incident happened. Two came, they put him on the ground, they opened him, they took his heart, and they did what they did. And she was shocked at this time as well. So she grabbed him and she rushed back to his mother, and she says, look, that's it, I don't want him, take him. And she left. And so Rasulullah's mother took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This was at age of 4. She went with him to Medina. And then when she came back to Mecca, it is on that path where his mother died, and he continued to Mecca. This is now two incidents in where his chest was open. The third one is the beginning of the wahi. The beginning of the wahi, that's also in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's chest was open. And it was cleaned, and the same issue happened. The fourth time, it was just before Isra' wal-Mi'raj. The angels also came, cut him open, took his heart out, وَمُلِئَ حِكْمَةً وَعِلْمًا وَنُورًا. And they filled it up with wisdom, and they filled it up with knowledge, and we filled it up with light. Then they put it back on, and that was the fourth. So some ulama say his chest was actually opened 4 times. Some said 2 times, some said 3 times. But anyway, whatever it is, his chest was open. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, later on in his life, he'd say that I can see the stitch marks on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's chest. I saw them. So this is basically surgery that happened. Other ulama said that his chest was open, but it wasn't for the eye to see. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did see the angels carry his heart, but there was no blood, there was no opening, there was none of this. It was something that was spiritual, something that Allah had given only to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whatever the case is, it did happen, right? And the whole purpose of it was to clean Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's heart, and the purpose of it was to get him ready for the risalah, was to get him ready for the wahi. So that happened physically. Now, the non-physical, and this is the core of what alam nashrah laka sadrak means. Now let's get to the two points. The first one is, alam nashrah laka sadrak, didn't we not expand your chest and open your chest for you? You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was given the expansion of the chest. Musa alayhi salam asked for it. He said, Rabbi shrah li sadri. Here's the first difference now. That Musa alayhi salam asked for it, whereas Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given without any question. What is this sharh al-sadr, and what does it actually imply? We'll study it from the case of Musa, then we'll understand what it means for the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Musa alayhi salam, Allah azza wa jal calls him to the mountain. He gets to the mountain after he sees a fire. Allah azza wa jal commands him with a few things, right? What does he say to him first? He says, Alqi ma fi yaminik. Drop what's in your right hand. Drop it, all right? Not throw it, drop it. So it's right close, very close to you. He drops it. What happens to it is that it turns into a snake. فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ. Not only a snake, it's moving around. تَسْعَى. Right? It's running around. Which made him really, really scared. وَلَّا مُدْبِرًا. He started running away. But when he ran away, he did not even open his mouth. He didn't say anything. All right? As scary as it is, and as frightening as it is, he did not open his mouth. The second command Allah told him was, وَأَدْخِلْ يَدَكَ فِي جَيْبِكَ تَخْرُجْ بَيْضَاءَ مِنْ غَيْرِ سُوءٍ. Allah said, put your hand, your right hand, in your jayb, inside here. Some said in jayb, in your pocket. But anyway, put it somewhere and take it out. It's going to become white. Very bright. It's going to become white, bright, and people are just going to stare at it. He did that, and he did not say a word. Now, imagine that. You're on the mountain, you put your hand, take it out. It becomes, all of a sudden, it's turning white. But if you're sitting here now and you look at your hand and something begins to develop on your hand, you run to the doctor, right? What's happening to my hand? What's happening to me, right? If just with the little slightest of things that happens to your body, you'll rush. He's Musa, his hand is changing in front of him. Alayhi salam, he doesn't say a word. As scary as it is, he didn't say anything. Now the third thing Allah tells him, he says, اذهب إلى فرعون. He says, go to Fir'aun. Go to Fir'aun. That is though. Musa alayhi salam, that's difficult. That itself is difficult than the other two. What's the proof of that? Is that now he has a whole list that he tells Allah Azza wa Jal, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli wa ij'al li wazira min ahli. This is difficult. I need all this to be accepted before I go there. Right? So he's got a list of dua he makes. The fact that he opened his mouth when Allah told him go to Fir'aun would mean that was difficult. And it was difficult. And he told Allah why it's difficult. He said to him in Surah Al-Shu'ara, وَيَضِيقُ صَدْرِ. He said to him, Allah, يَأَخَافُ أَنْ يُكَذِّبُونَ. I fear that they might like me. وَيَضِيقُ صَدْرِ. And I fear that, and this is we're getting to the points in here. وَيَضِيقُ صَدْرِ. My chest is going to become tight. What does that mean? وَيَضِيقُ صَدْرِ. Meaning I have a temper and my chest is going to get tight. If I get to Musa, if I get to Fir'aun, who Fir'aun? Fir'aun hurt me. He hurt my mother. He killed my people. He killed the babies of my tribe every second year. He's caused me a lot of pain. This is not easy for me to walk into Fir'aun. If I see him, well, I'm going to go off at him. I can't. So, وَيَضِيقُ صَدْرِ وَلَا يَنْطَلِقُ لِسَانِي. And then my tongue, I'm going to stutter. You know, when you're really angry at someone, you can't even say two words together properly. And this is why he's complaining. You say, وَلَا يَنْطَلِقُ لِسَانِي. I will not be able to speak. And my chest will become so, so tight. Out of frustration from this man, I can't do it. So what does he say to Allah? رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. Ya Allah, expand my chest. What does that mean? That means, oh Allah, expand my chest. Allow me to take in the insults that I'll receive from Fir'aun so that I'm not moved emotionally. That's what it means. That's what it means. It means I'm going to Fir'aun. I'm going to hear him. He's going to swear at me. He's going to swear at the message. He's going to insult Allah. He did insult Allah. He's going to threaten me. All that is going to make me frustrated from him. Ya Allah, ishrah li sadri. Expand my chest so it's so wide that anything he speaks of insults about me or my message or you, I can take it. I can handle it, no problem. So this is alam nashrah laka sadrak. And this is rabbi ishrah li sadri for Musa alayhi salam. What does it mean for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is exactly the same meaning. You know why? Because the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, they don't have an easy job. They have a very difficult job. They have the role, and especially the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has the job and the role of being the final messenger. You know what that means? Yani that means what he has in 23 years must be conveyed to for the rest of humanity until the day of judgment. This is a difficult task. If he's not successful, that means humanity until the day of judgment will suffer. So he knows what kind of stress is on his shoulders. And so it's an extremely demanding job. And having such a role is very tough. And it requires patience and perseverance. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he goes ahead with conveying the message which Allah has given him. And you know, when he goes and recites the Quran to Kuffar Quraysh, what do? They make fun of him. They laugh at him. They even attempt to kill him. They throw the camel stuff on him, right? Even his own people, they grab pebbles and they pelt him with the pebbles. Now imagine yourself. Imagine telling someone about the benefits and the wisdoms of Islam. You're talking to someone, brother, this Islam, and some kafir, you're telling him about Islam. And he looks at you like this, and then he doesn't positively respond to you, rather he rejects you. And he starts cursing you. And in public, in front of everyone. And in front of your family. And he insults you. And he laughs at you. And he swears at you. And everybody in public is looking at you. And everyone begins to laugh at you. You know? You begin to feel humiliated. You begin to feel saddened. you feel uncomfortable, and your chest begins to feel tight, and you're not comfortable anymore. So Allah Azza wa Jal has to expand the chest of the prophets alayhim as-salatu was-salam, so they can face all this without a problem. And so with the likes of Al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah expands his chest so that he can take in all the insults and all the mockery and all the swearing and the laughing and the slandering and the physical torture. Take it all in, because the chest is expanded. It's ready for all this. I'm not going to move a single bit. And this is a daily job for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not like you and I, right? Maybe we give da'wah once a month here, once a week there. Maybe if we can speak to this person, right? If we get insulted, we feel like it's very constrained. The first du'a to make when you want to work in the da'wah is this du'a. رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي, right? Subhanallah. For this is one of the wisdoms in why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is one of the interpretations of the meaning of expanding the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, subhanallah, Allah azza wa jal did that to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, when he was in Thaqif and he gave them the da'wah, they hurt him physically, they threw the pebbles and stones at him in Tabuk as well. Even the angel of the mountains, the angel of the mountains told Jibreel, go tell Rasulullah, I'm here, I'll do whatever he wants. I'll grab the mountains and I'll smash them down onto these people. What did the Messenger said? He said, Allahumma ahdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, guide my people because they don't know. And he said, inni la arju an yukhrij Allahu min aslabihim man yaqulu la ilaha illallah. I hope that Allah Azza wa Jal will bring from their generations some that will say la ilaha illallah. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have never said this except that Allah Azza wa Jal had expanded his chest. And it's so expanded that it'll take in any insult and not moved one bit. Tomorrow da'wah, the same one. Insult and do whatever you want. Tomorrow is the same da'wah and it's going to keep moving. Subhanallah. So this is one of the meanings of Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak. The last one, and I'll conclude with this, is it was expanded so it can be ready for the Qur'an. Listen to this analogy. Allah Azza wa Jal said, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says that if this Qur'an was revealed on a mountain, you would have seen the mountain explode from the fear of Allah. متصدعا من خشية الله. Right? It'll explode. The mountain can't hold the revelation, the Qur'an. It cannot hold it. Allah is saying it will explode. And then Allah said, khashi'an. It'll become khashi'an. You know, khashi'an is something that's humble, something that's soft. Now a mountain, what does it, it's supposed to be hard and strong. But Allah is saying, no, the Qur'an would have made it khashi'an, soft, and it'll just destroy it. Okay, so in saying that, this same Qur'an that Allah said, if it was revealed on a mountain, the mountain would have exploded. Who was it revealed onto? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart. نزل به الروح الأمين على قلبك لتكون من المنذرين. So Jibreel عليه السلام, he didn't reveal the Quran on a mountain, he revealed it on something stronger than a mountain, that is the heart of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So if his heart is to hold the Quran, and how does Allah describe the Quran? He says, إنا سنلقي عليك قولا ثقيلا. We're going to reveal unto you a قول, a speech that is thaqila, that is very, very, very heavy. So if the chest isn't open and it's widened, it won't accept this wahi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alam nashrah laka sadrak, he expanded his chest so he can make it ready so that if the Quran was to come on it, it doesn't damage him. It doesn't damage him like it would have destroyed the mountain. In that you learn that the heart of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was stronger than the mountain. Subhanallah. So we can conclude that the expansion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's chest was done to the hardship involved in conveying the message. It was done so he can take in the insult and not be moved one bit. And it was done so he can receive this heavy message, this Quran that was sent upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah ta'ala, next week we'll continue with the ayat, وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ, until we reach to the end of the surah, inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of the Quran, people who benefit from the reminders of the Quran. إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.